Let's say that Jim is asked to participate in an experiment. First of all, Jim is told that he will be watching a YouTube video. Agreeing to this, he is brought into the room and on a TV screen, he is shown a plumbing video, how to attach PVC pipe. Jim has seen this stuff before in his basement. It takes drain water away to the sewers. As the video rolls, Jim yawns. The plumber on screen nicely teaches how to prepare the length of pipe, cut in 90-degree angles, put the epoxy on, and join the two pieces together. This is kind of boring, Jim thinks. But he sits there because he has agreed to watch the video. Once the 5-minute video concludes, Jim is brought into a different room and asked to repeat what he had just watched. He is asked, "Attach two pieces of PVC, please. We have all you need here on this table." His eyes get wide as he looks at a table full of supplies, pipes, epoxies, sandpapers, saws, and much more. Feeling unprepared, Jim attempts to fit two pipes. But amongst the mountain of tools, he grabs the wrong saw and pulls the wrong glue from amongst many bottles. He attempts it, but the pipes do not hold fast, and water leaks all over the floor as his creation is tested. This is how the five virgins felt. The five foolish virgins felt in our text for today, unprepared for what is ahead. Jesus tells this parable to his disciples, explaining to them how the kingdom of God will be during the end times. Jesus, in fact, is in the middle of a long speech to his disciples explaining this. So far, Jesus has explained that there are signs to watch for, that his disciples should be watchful. They also must be faithful. And we talked about this from the perspective of Joseph last week. And again, Jesus makes it clear that faithfulness is key for the long journey. Because Jesus says that only the Father knows the hour in which Jesus will come. Unprepared. The foolish virgins were unprepared for the bridegroom to arrive at the wedding banquet. Now, it's not hard to make connections to the end times in this parable. So easy, in fact, that we may think the whole meaning of the parable is that simple. The 10 virgins are us. The bridegroom is Jesus, and we are waiting faithfully for him to come back and redeem the world. Those that did not bring extra oil were of little faith, and those that did bring oil were of great faith and were welcomed into the wedding banquet. But there seems to be more to this story. See, parables are not meant to be one-to-one allegories, for if we look deeper into this parable, there are some oddities. First, where is the bride? Arguably, the most important person on the wedding day. What would she represent? Second, why did the so-called virgins bring, so-called wise virgins bring extra oil? What made them think to do that? I mean, suppose that next Saturday you went to attend a wedding in which you see the bridesmaids coming down the aisle, each with a lovely bouquet of flowers in hand. But suppose that half of the bridal party walked down the aisle, using one hand to hold the bouquet and the other to lug along one of the old-style watering tins, you know, the ones with the long spout. Surely you'd conclude that this is a non-standard thing to bring to a wedding. Is the ceremony going to last so long that the flowers would wilt? What made the five bring extra oil? And why didn't they share that extra oil? That hardly seemed a gospel-like way of treating other people. Can it really be the same Jesus telling his story, who is the one that said on another occasion, if someone asks you for a coat, give him your shirt as well? As we consider these questions, and as we look into the context of the text, in amongst all of this end-time dialogue, we can draw out that this parable, a sense, we can draw a sense of focus. What is the focus of the bridesmaids? Where do they have their eyes? For we read that the five foolish virgins were unprepared for a marathon, for a long race. See, a marathon takes patient endurance, something that even in our faith lives today we can lack. For we do not know when Jesus will return, and the foolish of this world will be unprepared for his coming. First off, I need to address that those that do not believe in God, they are doomed to miss the wedding banquet altogether, without having a saving faith relationship with Jesus. But Jesus is not talking about those people specifically here. Here, we are reading about those that know about the wedding banquet, and that the difference between the wise and the foolish is the expectation of time. The group of 10 even fall asleep. This is not to emphasize that they were lazy, but to emphasize that a long time had passed. For us, the fool is the one predicting that Jesus is coming back soon. For if we believe that the end times are imminent, it leads to negligence. We don't need to bother with things like taking care of the environment, developing long-term strategies for peace among nations, or nurturing a faith strong enough to deal with issues that may crop up many years from now. Because Jesus is coming soon, all these problems, oh, they'll just go away. When our focus is in the sky, we miss those around us that need us. We miss the heart of the gospel to love God and to love neighbor. So when our focus assumes that this world is not going to be here for much longer, we abuse the love that Jesus gave us to spread to others, to care for the world, to reach out to people in peace, in love, in connection. Martin Luther was asked what he would do if he knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow. His answer is profound. I would plant an apple tree. There was a small town in southern Illinois who had just called a pastor, a small church. Their last minister had only stayed 2 years, and their previous a little shorter than that. The congregation was worried about how long their new pastor would last. Eager to get to know this minister, one church member drove by the pastor's house and saw him in the garden. He was planting something. Out she steps from her car and strolls up to him. "What are you planting?" The new pastor says, "Oh, hi, I've always wanted to grow my own asparagus. The church member went back to her car after a small conversation full of smiles, because she knew that asparagus takes many years to grow to the point of being harvestable. She knew that this pastor planned to stay for a while. And I think that is healthy for us Christians as well, to plan to stay here for a while. It's what Jesus was telling his disciples, that they needed to be prepared for a marathon journey. For if the disciples were starry-eyed people who do nothing but scan the horizon for clues as to history's end, they will miss what is important to living here today. Jesus is trying to create focused disciples who keep their eyes on the chief things of the gospel. For Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to come again, but is now warning them to keep their eyes focused on the gospel, not on the sky. For even Jesus says that he doesn't know the time when he will return. He's not training the disciples to be short-distance sprinters, perpetually dashing to history's finish line, but long-distance marathon runners who are poised to stay faithful over the long haul. And this parable of the 10 virgins advances Jesus' teachings of faithfulness and watchfulness and moves the disciples into readiness. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about being watchful. Verse 6 to 13 says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." And then the next verse talks about faithfulness. "But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." The disciples need to stand firm to the end, for they will be persecuted for the name of Jesus. And we know because of history that this did happen to the disciples. They were tortured, beheaded, and so many other wicked things because of their faith. And Jesus continues that he is leaving for a time. But on his return, the wise servant will be doing the work of the gospel. Verse 45 and 46 of Matthew 24 says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them food at their proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." And as Jesus tells the parable, his disciples have been told to watch, to be faithful, and now to be ready. Prepare for a run that will take some time. Prepare for a marathon. Plant that tree. Help that person. For the disciples are to be active in living out the gospel, no matter when Jesus is coming back. And that is what we are called to here today, to be active in living out the gospel no matter how long it takes for Jesus to return. For our focus is to be on the gospel, not on the imminent return of Jesus. That may sound kind of strange to say. Of course, we look forward to Jesus coming back. That he would take this sinful world and make it sinless. But that is not where we are at today. Today we are called as followers of Christ to be active, to hold to the truth of the gospel, to be watchful and faithful, but also prepared to love God and love our neighbors. We are prepared for the long journey, for wise is the person who takes the long look, and in doing so, wise believers display a caring attitude, not an uncaring one. Living with the end in sight need not mean being some starry-eyed person who does nothing but scan the horizon. In fact, what it should mean is living into the kingdom at every moment, doing the work that each day presents, and doing it precisely because you know the bridegroom is always close at hand, whether that happens anytime soon or not. And this is what Jesus calls us to do in his kingdom. And we ask and pray that God works in our hearts and in our minds to be prepared, to run the race to honor our Lord and Savior. And we do not do this alone. We do not have to hold on to the burdens of each moment. But we need to lean on Jesus for help and strength, for the bridegroom is coming. And we know the work of Jesus has already been done on the cross and in the resurrection. That we can be sure of and are held up by Jesus in our marathon race of preparedness. We pray for watchfulness. We pray for faithfulness. And we pray for readiness. Jesus, our hope, came into this world and took on the sins of all on the cross. And afterwards, he sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide and empower us as we live out the gospel. And I wonder how Jim is doing. Remember, we left him watching his PVC pipe leaking, wrong glue in hand? Well, Jim is not the sort to back down from a challenge, and he was given another opportunity to watch that plumbing video. This time, he knew that he was actually going to be putting a pipe together after. So, no more yawns. He was going to be prepared. Pen and paper in hand, he took notes through the 5-minute video and confidently walked back to the workbench. Jim knew the task that was ahead of him and grabbed the right epoxy, cutting the pipe to fit. He followed all the instructions that were on the video. Stepping away from a completed joint, Jim wonders why he didn't pay that much attention the first time. It took him being an active participant for him to take the video seriously. Jim's role was to learn, understand that he would need to be prepared for the task ahead of him. So, let our lives, let us live our lives knowing the task that is before us, that we would pay attention to the gospel message, the Bible, those that teach, and to look to the long game, Our task then is to love God and love people, living focused on the gospel, with our hope in the return of our Lord, and with all our lives as a living example of the greatest marathon of hope. Our lives following the gospel in God's strength. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for working in us for the promise of Jesus, who is coming again in glory. But may that not stop us from being your disciples right now, today and every day forward. May we be prepared for a marathon, leaning on you for strength and guidance. Lord, we pray for forgiveness when we are not focused on the task set before us. It is in you that we find hope and life. Let us live with the truth of the gospel on our lips as we witness to the world around us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.